Finally, Waters secures 29th career triple crown.
Uh-huh.
Dude, think about like playing every event and winning all three 29 times is absurd.
That's over a year's worth of tournaments.
The triple crown. Yeah, I mean, that is like a wild stat. That's like a Tiger Woods type stat.
Yeah.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right. It feels right. Legendary. Look how we made it this far.
Siegelman Stable.
What am I? Yeah, you know, it's just a horse racing stable that I know nothing about. But you know, the hat's cool. What was I gonna say? Oh, just with the random laughing, you know, just kind of the unprompted laughing. My favorite commercial of all time is, and you don't hear that often, right? Nobody likes commercials.
No,
this is a commercial that. Is a Coca-Cola commercial, but it's set on I believe like the subway in New York, and it's this guy watching something on his phone, like this not a guy like probably 45, 50, and he's just looking at something on his phone and he's just like just dying laughing. And it's showing like other people on the subway's quiet and he's just dying laughing. And it's showing like it's panning to other people on the subway that are kind of like looking at him like, what the hell is happening? And he's just like his laugh is so aggressive and he's just by himself and he just starts laughing more and more and louder and louder. And eventually you have like everybody in the subway is like cracking up because this guy is just dying of laughter. So anyways, just made me think of that because. Laughter is contagious, Adam.
It is. It's infectious.
It's infectious.
I would have started laughing with him. There's no question about it.
Oh, you got to watch that though. Maybe Josh is going to pull a clip of that and edit that into this podcast. Don't worry about copyright. Adam said it's okay.
Yeah, I'm never worried about. I don't even know what that is. Copyright. So that's out of my area of expertise. Robert, how you doing, buddy? You got where there's an APP this weekend. Are you playing it?
There's an APP in Dallas. I am playing it.
Dallas.
And Oasis at Rockwall.
That's right. Good central location. I do miss a little bit about Texas. You don't have a lot of short flights, but you don't have a lot of long flights. And
everything's like 2 hours, two and a half.
Yeah, that's right, and that's reasonable. So I'm going
that's
east.
Super reasonable.
I'm going east coast to west coast. So I am not commentating the PPA, but I will be at MLP Las Vegas. So there is a triple action.
When is that?
Triple action. This weekend. So the MLP actually starts Monday, but the double dip this weekend with the PPA and the APP. So dude, it's
So you're saying Monday of next week?
Yeah. So a week from today, basically.
Adam, I fly to Vegas Monday of next week.
Why?
From Dallas. I'm doing. I'm running a corporate event.
Well, let's go
in Vegas.
Let's.
So I will. Well, I will be there with you. I'm saying it. I think they have me at Harrah's. Where are you at?
Frothy beverages.
Well, of course.
Can we? I've been off the sauce a little bit and I'm ready to get back on it for you, Rob.
Hey, I appreciate that. I'll encourage it. Why not?
No, we have Hard Eights.
It's all moderation, Adam.
Right.
It's all moderation.
Well, at times. Hard Eights Airbnb. So we are not on the strip. It's at Darling Tennis Center, which is a lovely facility, and we are somewhere close to that in Airbnb. So I'm sure it won't be
it's
hard.
Good. It's not, you don't want to, like, I've done this staying on the strip when you play at Darling. And dude, I just remember like being in the hotel room to having to go through the casino, to find the parking garage, to find your car, to get out of the strip. Like it's like you got to allocate like an hour and a half to go from the strip to Darling. Yeah, if you're coming from your hotel room.
You go to the strip, you don't go other places. Stay there.
You go to the strip,
duration.
You stay on the strip. Yeah.
Yeah, that is correct.
Totally.
You know what I miss? I miss a little bit of the plaza where COVID started.
Oh, dude, yeah. Oh, there's so many memories of Zane Affleck up there.
Zane Affleck, like, stale cigarette smoke, old ladies in sweatsuits with oxygen
and bikinis
tanks
as well, though. Because you got the pool up there, so you'd have just like
some special body types up there at the pool at the plaza.
Yeah,
you get the more traditional hourglass on the strip at the plaza. You don't always get that. So that is a special place. But that's what I think of in my days when I was playing poker in Louisiana, in Shreveport, Louisiana. You would
be like dirty man.
The exact. So a sweatsuit, 70-year-old lady in a sweatsuit, all the same color, with an oxygen tank, just pulling the lever. Oh. Stale cigarette smoke. Oh man, memories. So it's a lot of pickle. I mean, a crazy amount of pickle. So yeah, we just had Challenger only at the MLP in Virginia Beach, but this is going to be both Premier and Challenger. And this is the last tournament for the Hard Eights, as we are not competing in Miami, which is a couple weeks away. So,
Dallas, what needs to happen in Vegas for you?
Well, we need 9 points, which is 3 wins in regulation. That would be fantastic to put some pressure on some people. But of those top 3 teams, which is the Chicago Slice, Miami Pickleball Club, and us, we have the least amount of matches left. We only have 3. And I believe the other teams have 4 and 5. So I guess they control their own destiny a little bit more than we do, but not by much.
To get in the top 2, what do you like? How many points realistically do you think you need to get?
With some of the moves and the cash considerations being thrown to the lesser teams and their actual roster on paper declining, I think it needs to be significant. So I would say
6, 7.
Yeah, I would say 2 wins in regulation and going to a dream breaker of some sort would be solid. But if we just pop off a 9 spot, that would be lovely, of course. So it's have and have nots at the end of the season, which makes a lot of sense for a number of reasons. So I do believe we barely have the best strength of schedule of those 3 teams, but it's very close. It's not by much. So
got it. And PPA this week, is it progression?
No, it's regular. So it's a standard tournament, 1,000 points on the line. 1,500 for a cup, 2,000 for a major, 1,000 for a standard. So it will be, you know, whatever. Singles Thursday, mixed Friday, gender on Saturday. I'm actually going Saturday, even though I'm not working. So it's prof's fall break. So she has Thursday and Friday off of work. So we're going to do some activities. Can't wait.
What are you going to do?
I don't even know. She's got
it lined up for
we'll
sure.
Go to the park. Actually, probably possibly play a little pickleball. With a group in town. I don't believe she's played for probably like 6 months or something like that. I'm sure she's still very good
I
don't get it. She doesn't get exercise and then she goes and does something and does not get tired. She doesn't play pickleball and she goes and plays and she's like barely worse than when she was playing pickleball.
She's an elite athlete.
I can't argue
just
with
like
that.
You're an elite podcaster and content Correct. Creator, high end. But she's an elite athlete.
Well, thank you for not throwing me into that elite athlete company of the prof, because even though I am playing at a 5-0 level right now, which
golf, playing any golf?
Golf clap to me. No, we haven't, and we will. I'm about plus 40, if that's a thing. So it's good for me if I break 100. I've done it a few times, but I'm not good. I hit worm burners, man. Like if there's any form of like visual issues in front of me, sand trap, water, ditch that I have to hit over. Rattles
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you're done. Rattles you're going me. Straight through it.
Straight through it. Yeah. So my bump and run game is pretty legit, but like I said, something in my way. Not a good situation.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna have an opportunity, Adam, to go somewhere very close to you that has pickleball and golf. Have you heard of this?
Oh yeah, it's I believe it's in
Pinpoint.
Yeah, South Raleigh. So, do you know Ryan Gilbert?
I do. Yeah.
The Gilbert brothers. So Ryan Gilbert actually, I think his job is to do those golf simulators. So
they're going to have TrackMan golf. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly right. So, looks pretty legit. So there's a place in Durham, which is north of Raleigh, that is a Pickles and Play, that is an indoor facility. Mm-hmm. They're going to make another one of those in Briar Creek, which I know no one knows where that is, but that's just west of Raleigh, and then the Pinpoint. So Raleigh's popping on the pickleball front. And I mean, dude, you can't go standard times to any of the parks or outdoor facilities without a major wait. It's just, so tons of players.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you can go at 2 PM and you'll be fine, but if you go in the morning or the evening, you're done for.
Yeah. That's so wild that the demand's still that significant.
Uh huh. Yeah. Know? I mean,
I've never met someone
who started playing pickleball and stopped. Even if they stop for a short,
for
a short period of time, they come back.
They always come back.
They always come back.
Yeah.
So
they start thinking about like, oh man, that was, you know, I want to go hit some drops. I want to like, yeah, it pulls you back, Adam.
It does. And speaking of good pickleball communities, we were in Virginia Beach for the PPA this last weekend, and it's legit, man. Like I think it's like 38 courts. There for MLP2, crowds were a little lesser for the challenger only MLP PPA.
Yeah,
it was big time. So, great community of players. Crowds were significant every day. Of course, it builds from Wednesday on, but during the weekend packed, you know, some adult beverages were flowing. There was some signs out, there was some yelling and, great energy and some really, really good matches throughout the weekend. One had 8 match points, one had 10 match points. Fed and Hayden won in 5 games on Championship Sunday. Annalee and Brooke Buckner had a battle on Championship Sunday. So it was good times in Virginia Beach.
So it was MLP Challenger before the PPA, right? Uh-huh.
Yeah,
got it.
Directly before I went home for 2 days and then came back for the progressive draw for PPA. Right.
Got it. Why do you think, and you're talking about Virginia Beach, how like engaged the fans were.
Yeah.
Why do you think that the PPA had such a better response than MLP?
I mean, I'm not sure. I'm sure there's some reasons that I don't know about, but I would just guess name recognition of players. I mean, I think if you look at your average fan, there's probably only a handful of challenger players that they recognize their name or know. And you know, when you go to a PPA, you're going to get the heavy hitters. I mean, even if you look at like the YouTube replays of the matches at say a PPA event, it's like 25, 30, 40K for you know, Annalee and players like that, and it's only, you know, a few thousand or a couple thousand for some of the lesser names. So that's my first inclination, even though, like I said, I'm sure there's some extra moving parts that make it that way or not.
So from MLP's perspective, and this is not me asking you as somebody that's involved with MLP, this is just me posing a question to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
What's the purpose of having Challenger if it's not gonna get a draw, or if it's not gonna attract the audience or fans? Like, why not just make it a flat league? So it's just, you know, you've got name recognition on every single team, if that's the case, you know.
No, I hear you, and I think, you know, maybe there's a chance it moves to that. I know that there is, as of right now, there's going to be you know, a couple teams moving up, but I think one league makes sense for a lot of reasons. So,
yeah,
Yeah, no, and I know MLP New York was a big success in terms of, you know, crowds and ticket sales and those kind of things. And I mean, they didn't even have a streamed court for the MLP Challenger. They had a streamed court, but they didn't have commentators. So you were able to watch with you know, no sound, which, you know, there's always the, you know, internet trolls that just talk about how great that is because the announcers, the commentators babble on endlessly.
Adam sucks so bad.
Yeah. Adam sucks. What is he talking about? Why is he talking during the point? He should talk during the point. He shouldn't talk during the point. It's a, you know, whatever. It's all good.
I tuned into, I don't remember what it was. I think it was Virginia Beach, but it was like maybe a grandstand court. So it was on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And it was Greg Dow and somebody. It was like after Greg had already busted out, tough loss to Dubbed, I think. But good win over Augie in singles. Weird tournament for Greg Dow. But I flipped it on and I was texting him because usually Greg's on it for commentary.
Uh-huh.
But like from what I heard, it was like towards the end of one of the games and he was literally just all I heard him say was, wow, what a shot.
Wow.
And he just like, it was just like so checked out. I was like, Greg, you need to dial it in. You need to get some energy. You need to, you know, have a Celsius, have a, you know, something
rainstorm
because the commentary is tough.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, rainstorm, BOGO.
Yeah, one day, one weekend, even, you know, you can muster up. You can dig deep and find
it.
But if you got to do it, you got to do it consistently. Sometimes it's tough to get going, and sometimes you need a little help. You know,
Adam, I was telling you about the BOGO here in Jacksonville, Ponte Vedra Beach, at the Gate gas station. it's $250 for a rainstorm. BOGO.
$1.25 for piece. Wow.
Dude, it's been BOGO for at least 2 weeks now. It's an insane deal. I went this morning, but there's only one left. So, you know, there's no BOGO.
Oh.
You're just going to buy one. So I didn't even buy it. I went Celsius, two for $5. Not a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I did notice in the gas station was that all of the gas nozzle things.
Yeah.
We're out of order, out of service. And I got a very aggressive loud beep on my phone this morning that was an emergency alert. I got two of them for a hurricane warning.
Yeah.
So that is a big boy coming towards Tampa. It's going to go right across the state through Orlando over here to Ponte Vedra Beach. So, you know, I've got a flight tomorrow afternoon, which probably won't happen, I'm guessing. So mm-hmm. I also booked a flight tomorrow morning. I don't want to fly today, but maybe I have to fly tonight. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. But this it's gonna be, I mean, this hurricane is looking gigantic.
Yeah, and it's I think its landfall is like very early Thursday. Am I wrong about that?
I think it's a little earlier than that. Okay. I think it's Wednesday at some point
Wednesday
in Tampa.
No, I read an article like it's gained the most percentage strength by pressure or something than almost any storm that's ever been in the Gulf. It's like the fourth biggest from a pressure perspective that's ever been since they started tracking them or had the more advanced technology, and 175 sustained with 200 plus gusts. I mean, good Lord, man. Poor Florida.
Yeah. I mean, back to Tampa, back to back. It's insane.
Yeah, it is.
Incredibly sad thing. So Malin works at a Pilates studios here, and the owner, her brother lives in St. Pete.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of the ones that passed away.
No.
Not sure exactly what happened, but passed away in Helene.
Oh yeah. My goodness gracious.
Insane.
Wow.
And what it did to, dude, what it did to Asheville.
Yeah.
Have you seen those videos? It's unbelievable.
Right. I mean, that's my state. I mean, very far away
from
where it is,
yeah.
but it's crazy. And you like, I mean, you hear the numbers and the people passing away, and sure, you notice that, but it doesn't register until you have a connection. Like, I can't believe that through Mullen that somebody did. And I know that, Drew Felios, one of the commentators, had to basically gut his house from you know, standing water in his place. And I saw him this past weekend. He was doing Virginia Beach. So yeah, this is serious stuff. And I worry about this fella coming. I mean, I guess
you think about Florida, like Florida's generally covered, right, with hurricane insurance. But you think about like what happened in Asheville and the mountains in North Carolina. It's like nobody has that kind of insurance. It's just something that's so unexpected. So just to think about all the businesses and the homes and the people that are getting displaced. Like I went to college here, so I've got friends still there, and no power, no water, like pretty cut off from the, like they got cell service back like recently, but like pretty cut off from the world. It's insane.
Yeah, I agree. Wild stuff. I mean, I got plenty of messages, you know, old friends and things of that nature about North Carolina. And I was like, luckily I'm on the east side, not the west side. And I didn't even fully know until I got that and then kind of looked up some stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, after seeing these videos and some of the numbers that came through. It's pretty wild, I guess.
Yeah. And I know like it trickled all the way down to Charlotte where, you know, I think a reservoir in Charlotte like was at capacity, and like just don't realize that, you know, getting that much rain that high in a mountain, it all has to flow somewhere, right?
Yeah. I guess all we can do is recap PPA Virginia Beach now that we've talked about all the very serious stuff going on.
All the tough stuff. But back-to-back storms hitting Tampa is like storms of the century, two in a row kind of thing is just, that's just.
And that's nuts. I mean, that's pickleball hotbed. You got Naples, you got Fort Myers, you got St. Pete, you got whatever, Sarasota's and Tampa and all that stuff right there. So, it's definitely affecting the community. And let's hope it's, I don't know, like dies down a little bit or is a fast mover. I know like Katrina just hung out or a couple of those down in Houston area, Louisiana area. They were not fast moving. And that's the worst situation when they dump the water and just sit there. So, fast moving. Yeah. Hopefully it dies down a little bit before he gets there. But I think even if it does die down, it's going to be dicey. So,
agreed.
So let's talk about Fed and Hayden.
Easy transition to Fed and Hayden.
I mean, undefeated. They're undefeated. They played fantastic. 1-5 against the Johns brothers on Sunday. Hayden, I think, is probably my favorite player just because he's a little guy, moves like a champion, has ridiculous power and hand speed. And, you know, he's playing with such a consistent player in Fed. They got it done. I mean, undefeated, only two tournaments, but I mean, 10-0 or something like that is wild for those two.
Yeah, really, really impressive stuff. And yeah, Hayden always is like, his wrist, dude, his wrist action, it's like he's got to be like Gumby. You know what I mean? It's like my wrist would be shattered if I tried to like flick like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's like 1B for me when you're talking about flicking with J-Dub up there, 1A for sure. Yeah. It's just absolutely disgusting.
I don't know if you know this, but I haven't checked a bag since probably 2005. So I'm going on 20 years of no check bags. I only carry on. And what's made that really easy for me over the past couple years are Selkirk backpacks. Because little do people know, you get a personal item to carry on most carriers. And both items are big backpacks. I carry them on. I fill both of them to the brim. And they both count as carry on. So I don't have to check a bag. It's important.
No, I'm right there with you. And that's the big boy. And I am past my playing days. So I do one big boy and one little smaller fella here that I can take with me from the hotel to the venue every single day. Leave the big boy there. Don't check bags. Get yourself some Selkirk gear. Small, medium, big, you need it.
I don't have the small. I need the small. Somebody send me the small. But yeah, you're right, because I can put my little laptop and I don't have to take the big one. It's important. Selkirk, send me a small. I'll buy it.
And there was some little brother frustration for the Johns to Colin as I've seen him. I've been calling the matches and Colin's been picking up the pace and the speed ups in the early rounds, and some of that is not carrying over to the quarterfinals plus. And, you know, there was some visibility issues for one evening, but I believe that the frustration in the next day and on Sunday was from some of the shot selection and the court positioning and ability to cover some of the middle balls for Collins. So, I mean, they went five, they almost won, you know, it's not like it's a bad tournament or anything, but, you know, sometimes, especially if it's somebody close to you, those frustrations start to build and that can be some team dissension going on there. So we'll have to see with that team.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, do you ring the alarm or, I mean, still getting to finals, still winning, still like, what change do you make?
Yeah. For me, the Johns Brothers, it's not panic. And I was less panicked than almost everyone else when, you know, it was only like five or six tournament drought or something like that. But I mean, it's just so ingrained in Colin to play a certain way. I mean, he's literally been doing it his entire career. So it's not just going to be a snap your fingers. I'm going to cover more of the middle. I'm going to be more aggressive. I'm going to counter here, counter there, speed up here, speed up there. So I still think it's a situation that he has the skill set to do, but it's just going to take a little while because it's all he knows. Of playing that, you know, 22% of the court and focusing on what he does well. Now with the offense, the aggressive dinks back behind Ben makes it harder for him to cover that 80% or that 75% because of some of the paddle technology and the skills of the players. So there's a lot of things playing into it. And Colin's going to have a little bit of a paradigm shift and you know, he doesn't need to cover half the court, but he's probably going to have to cover 35-40% because people are just too good these days to have one player, you know, cover so much.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, and I think players are good. Paddle situations are like you can do more stuff from different areas of the court. Like,
right.
You know, Ben coming over that 70-30. It's like you can roll backhands cross court now, which you couldn't do that before, right? That had to just be like a little chip back behind them, and that's coverable. But like if you're able to roll hard and go heavy behind, you just can't cover the 70-30, 80-20, 75, you know?
And I've said it multiple times where, you know, my hands feel fine, my consistency feels fine, but that's the hardest thing for me. Now that I'm out of the game and I come back and play with pros, you know, as practice or before the tournament, is the dink aggression. It's a lot. It is a lot to cover. Yeah. You got to bend. You got to move. You're less of a presence in the middle or covering the other shots and the speed ups when you're kind of getting pulled around from side to side by some of these very aggressive dinks. So it's only going to continue, and you know, we'll keep our eye out. But as I mentioned, Rob,
we'll continue to monitor the situation.
Monitor. That's I should probably use that word less. I use it too much. I say monitor about 54 times a broadcast. So I need to go to do a little thesaurus work. So there was a wild match between Anna Bright and Rora Bakker and Elise Jones and Tyra Black. I believe that was the 10 match points, not 8 match points, and it went down to the wire. Elise didn't miss a dang ball. Tyra was, you know, doing her thing with her great movement and athleticism, coming over to the middle with the forehand. They were throwing up lobs, scramble points left and right. So, you know, so I was very impressed with that match, and the crowd was engaged. And there was also an Ignatowicz Alshon versus Riley Newman, Rafa Hewitt match that went down to the wire too. So Rafa was rounding them up and I just love those pressure moments at 10-10 in the third or whatever it may be, just to see, you know, who, whoop, you know, gets tight and who lets it fly. And there was some tightness and, you know, I love the guy, but Big Papa Jimmy got pretty tight in the big moments with his third shots and pulling back on the serve, you know, hitting his drive about 60%, about head high five times. So it's tough out there, man. It's
one of the one of the most useful data points that I've seen in a while. I found it fascinating. I don't even know where I saw it, but Ben over at Real Clear Stats did an analysis on on serves and basically it was a it was like a graph or spreadsheet on what like how valuable is hitting is somebody's big serve, for example. And I remember James's was he wasn't earning a lot of free points off of it. And so yeah, it was based on is your opponent giving you, you know, errors on the return, and also how often are you missing your serve based on going for it. And it was like this analysis, and I think James was very low. Like he'd miss it often and he wasn't getting a lot of free points off the return.
Right.
And same with Will Howes. He would miss it often and he wasn't getting a lot of free points. I don't remember who was top of that list, but I'm sure we can find it to pull it up. I just found that to be a really interesting analysis and really like valuable data points that, that players can learn from. And obviously like GMs, coaches, et cetera.
Right. And the thing is I always talk about the noise of stats. So it's so, there's so much more to it than just making your serve and missing returns. Like there's a lot of value that you get. Cause I saw the exact same thing, and all data is great, but like, I think like Tina Pisnik was top 10, Tyler Loom was like top 12 or something like that.
And so there's some anomalies,
right? There's definitely anomalies, but there's always something to be gained from that data.
Yeah.
And, it was funny when I saw a few of the names also though, but yeah, James, I mean, he pulled back on the serve. I told you about how he drove, like Alshon just started sprinting in front of James to take the third, whether it was with his backhand or not. Well, of course it's with his backhand if he's playing the right. So it's tough out there. And I know James kind of went to the bag to get like some salt. So I think he was feeling it a little bit physically because the temperatures were not high, but the humidity was fairly high.
And it's crazy because he doesn't move that much.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's weird that he would sweat like that if he's if he's not moving. But yeah, you know when it's dripping off the bottom of your shorts that you've probably lost too much fluid. So who knows exactly what it was, but man, there was some tight points and some wild play in the big moments. And you know, just how it works, sometimes you don't get that. Sometimes you can go a whole tournament and there's only one or two situations of 9-8 in the third in the quarterfinals or later. So this was one of the situations where we got to see a lot of play in those big moments.
So what happened with the 10 match points in the women's match?
So AB and Rohrabacher got it done. So
they were down. They had 10 match points against them.
Yes. Yes. No. They had 10 match points.
They finally closed it.
Right. And some of those were in game two and some of them were in game three, which I believe was 13-11. I actually have it pulled up here. But yeah, so that's they ended up getting it done, and there was an unfortunate situation. I don't think this was a hook at all. It was just a miss, but there was a ball on the line, and at the very end of game three, and Elise and Tyra did not have timeouts left. So they could not challenge it. So that was very unfortunate. Of course, the referees didn't have a good look. They couldn't overturn. So actually I'll ask you that. How important is it with this new close call replay challenge system? How important is it to hold on to your timeouts if there's a situation early in the game where you need to stop the momentum, things aren't going your way? But it's the balance of that and also holding on to your timeouts to make sure that you can challenge in those big spots.
Yeah, so timeouts and challenges are intertwined now, huh?
Correct. So if you use your two timeouts, you cannot challenge the rest of that game.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, yeah, to your question, I think it makes you definitely have to rethink your strategy in terms of when you take them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I mean, those calls tend to happen late in the games when they matter more.
Yeah.
You know, so like those close ones, if it's 1-1, you know. Yeah, sure. Give it to him. If it's 10-10, most people are a little, they saw it a little differently.
Right.
So, I mean, that's when you want to have that in your back pocket. So I think in terms of that, it's a very practicable skill in terms of playing rec and playing in the early rounds and like really focusing on how to stop momentum without taking a timeout. Like that's going to have to be a strategy early on in games, right? Like somebody goes on a three-point, four-point run of just drive crash and it's just working and you're getting flustered and you miss a return, whatever. Like you might have to go tie your shoe.
Right.
You might have to go do something. But I think, yeah. So I don't love that. I don't love that rule because it's going to cause that kind of thing. And you never want to see that late in a game, right? Where right. you can't challenge it and the call is just wrong. Because it really it affects the outcome of what should actually happen. I think timeouts and I don't know. I think timeouts and challenges should be separate. But
yeah, I mean, I think that there's multiple ways to manage the game without taking a timeout too. Everybody's, almost everybody has a towel out on the side. You talked about tying your shoe. My tennis move, I'd be go to serve and I would bounce the ball off of my foot and let it roll far away. And then I would slowly walk to get it.
Classic. That's my singles. Yeah. That's my singles pickleball strategy.
Yeah, that's right. That's about, and then you throw the, oh, my bad. I rolled it off my foot. I'm sorry about that. So
somebody else tries to pick it up for you. Like, No. I got it.
Yeah, and there's tons of teams that like to play fast. So having that in your arsenal to go to the towel to slow down the pace of play without taking a timeout is going to be important. With players calling their own lines, you have to do it. Also, Rob, another rule that happened in a huge moment of the men's final was not signaling a timeout. So back when I would play, I would just lightly drop my paddle.
Pass the paddle, walk off the court.
Walk off the court. And that's that. Everyone kind of knows what's happening. But now it's been a point of emphasis for a few tournaments. And the Johns brothers were warned earlier in the game. They decided to have a stoppage of play with the timeout and just walk to the bench. No verbal call of the timeout, and actually got a point deducted from their score at the end. I don't know which game it was, but it was at the end of a game. So thoughts on that rule?
Yeah, I'm glad that rule's not on the APP tour, because I will continue. I will continue to throw my paddle down in disgust and walk off the court when I
absolutely
miss a dink.
Yeah.
I didn't know that rule, but I did see that happen. And, it's a shame. Couldn't have happened to a better couple of guys.
There you go. Also,
no cops on that, Adam.
There, I'm moving on. I got my note card here. I'm moving down the list.
It's a real shame that happened.
Yeah, we're
terrible
we're,
stuff. I hate when stuff like that happens to such good people.
That's right. Okay. All right. Yes, and also on the broadcast. This is a suggestion from you. I'm not sure that's the exact reason why it happened, but we were putting up more graphics. It is late in the year about the race to the CIBC finals and how, the top 16 in doubles, the top 8 in singles, and how that affects, you have two people close in the standings or, some person that already got bumped out of the tournament and now one player's still in and they can have that. So we showed those graphics a lot and showing also the points that you get per round and how the bronze medal matches and winning in the quarters and semis, how big that is for the race standings. Every match needs to have something like that. And, I think it helps the viewers a lot. And I hope that we will be doing this in the next two MLP events, because that's a huge factor for who makes the playoffs and who gets one of those top two seeds in both the Challenger and Premier Division. So I just wanted to share that with you if you were not watching.
That's good stuff.
I mean,
the more context you can give in terms of what every match means is a big deal. What I don't know is, so those are the standings. That's the race. You can kind of know where it all stacks up. And I saw something about, what was it? If somebody wins singles, they will get in. If they don't, they will not. Did you see that?
No,
like, there's somebody that's on like the cusp of like, it's top eight, right? Top eight, get in?
Top eight for singles. Yes.
Yeah, so somebody's like 9, I think, right now in men's is what I saw. And then, like, I think to like if they win the tournament, they get in. If they get to the finals, they,
so
they don't.
So you could even get more specific.
It might be Hunter or somebody, but that's good to know, right? Because now it's like, you know, you want to follow that. You want to like, okay, they're fighting to get into the top eight. So that stuff's super interesting. That's fun.
Yeah.
But what does it mean getting in the top eight? Just like, is it more money? Is it, what is it? Why does it matter?
It's a fantastic question. I'm not exactly sure. I know you get to play the CIBC finals in San Clemente. I'm not sure exactly, what, if that's a monetary, boon or is that a point/ranking for 2025 situation? I'm not positive, but I do agree with you.
But that's the next level of it, right?
That and also what you said, Rob, was so-and-so is out of the tournament. This person needs to make the semifinals or better to pass them, like to get the more specific graphics where you can know and you can kind of follow that player and think about it during the match, if they hit a good shot or if they hit a bad shot. Like this is important to this guy or gal. So yeah,
like that should be like, I'm just thinking, like, if I'm watching any match that's coming up for the broadcast, and let's say it's like a men's doubles and somebody's right on the cusp, like knowing that they have to get to at least the semifinals of this tournament to get enough points to get in, is like, that should be on every match. Somebody on that court has something on the line.
Yeah, I agree completely. Oh, we got a little nugget over here. Hey, buddy boy.
AJ.
Hey.
AJ. AJ.
AJ. AJ.
God, he's
AJ. AJ.
He looks fantastic.
How you
today.
Doing, Papa?
AJ.
Hey, that's Robert. AJ, that's Robert.
Yay. I always think he can hear me. He cannot hear me. God, that's such a good cheese, though.
Yay.
Oh, he's so adorable.
There you go, buddy. Way to make an appearance. You're doing great, fella. Oh, show him the pants. Oh, my God. Pickleball pants, man.
God, dude.
Look at the pickleball pants. Man. Let's go.
Oh, he is so cool.
Oh, yeah. He is cool.
God, dude. He is the man. What? You definitely don't dress him.
Oh, shout out to Gigi and Granddad for the pickleball outfit. It's bamboo, too. That's the hot thing for pajamas. What do you say, pajamas or pajamas?
I say pajamas.
Pajamas. What do I say, Prof? Yeah. I say pajamas too. Okay, and Prof is disgusted. I mean,
that's what it is. That's what it is.
Yeah,
it's pajamas.
It's pajamas. Correct.
Pajamas is like hard to say.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, come on.
How redneck do you want to be?
Hey, Prof, be better. Oh, she says because it's pajama time, not pajama time. There's like a book or like a song or something like that.
Yeah, from another redneck, probably. Yeah.
I got her. Got her.
I only do this when Prof can't hear me. If Prof could hear me, we're just going after you.
Uh-huh, that's right.
If Prof could hear me, it's pajama. You're a redneck, and correct. Prof is correct. And I've never heard anything other than pajama.
Yeah, I know. That's why I can't wait till we all get together again, Rob. That's exactly why.
Get her out there in Vegas.
Probably not going to
happen. Get little AJ and Prof in Vegas.
Not,
come on.
Not going to travel till 2025, but I'm excited to bring the crew to one of these things, for sure. All right, he's melting down. We got to get him out of here.
Adam. when are you taking the family on a vacation? You guys deserve a little tropical vacation.
I agree. So we did go to the beach the end of the summer. It's only a couple hours away.
The Bahamas or somewhere else. I think somewhere clear water.
I think 2025 is the year. So he's becoming a little bit easier in some of that regard. I mean, I think early on, I don't know how people do it. I just don't see how people can travel with a small child and enjoy themselves. It's tough.
I bet AJ is going to be a little champion though.
You know, he is at times. he is at times. Yeah. So, I get about 4 hours with him, after we finish this podcast. So I'm excited for it. Uh-oh, you got something to say?
Brooke just sat there while she played.
Oh, Prof is saying, so Brooke. Yeah, Brooke Buckner, her little baby Margot, was just there in the front row, just sitting there for the entirety of the match, and Prof is just mind-boggled that that could happen.
Like, how old's Margo?
Margo's younger than AJ. Margo's I don't even think Margo's a year, like, or maybe right around a year. And so Prof could not believe it that was actually happening. But nice work, Margo. Way to just chill out and let
nice
Mama
work,
play.
Nice work, Brooke.
Yeah, right. And Mama played well, so had a real battle with
maybe
ALW.
Maybe she sedated her.
A little my grandma used to say a little thimble of whiskey. A little thimble of whiskey back in the day. No.
So that's what happened to you,
Adam. Yeah, right. Exactly. So, Rob, also, I wanted to bring this up as I know how much the viewers love it when we can hear the bench mics during a timeout, during the timeout. Yeah. And you could hear, you know, whatever, Athena and Lee Waters doing their thing. Chad, you can hear the players actually talking to each other.
How choppy Tyra's forehand is.
Yeah, that's right. Her drive is trash, but what are you going to do with it? I believe was the statement. It's so difficult because the music and the MC is like a huge part of the actual crowd there that is in attendance. So it's just unfortunate. I just wanted to bring it up because I know multiple people have said that on social media, how they want to hear the court mics. But sometimes you can't hear anything, and Dave and I are just quiet, like looking at the screen, trying to get something, and we never get anything. Sometimes we get gold. Yeah. Sometimes the MC is yelling at the top of her or his lungs to get the crowd amped up, which is fine. It's just tough to do. So,
Have you guys done like, you know, they're doing a lot of this in basketball and baseball as well. Having like during point interviews with like Lee on the bench or whoever's on the bench for the player.
We're
talking about like, what are they like, what strategies happening?
Yeah,
what
we haven't done that lately. And I believe we have done that in the past, and it usually gets destroyed by somebody. The thing is like, just because someone on social media destroys the situation does not mean that it's bad. It means that they are the ones that said something. You know, they could be in a huge they could be in a huge minority. And of course, no strategy, even if it's just talking to someone or a commentating style, can be 100% liked by everyone. It's just impossible. Yeah. So I think that was part of the situation with talking during the points. It's
got it.
Those people are so adamant. They have a very loud voice, but they're in the minority. Some people want to know what's happening for a great shot or a dink rally or the strategy of the situation. And we tried to talk during the point a little bit more, especially early in a game, and then lay out more at the end of the game when kind of the play and the tightness of the situation is more important. So it's a work in progress, and I definitely didn't do the best job of doing that during dink rallies, but we at least started the process of talking during the point.
I mean, that's progress. It's how you grow, Adam.
Yes.
Well done.
Thank you.
Proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you, Robert. what else,
Adam? I got some stuff for you.
This is my last thing on my notes. So let me say this and then you can
hit me.
Catherine Parento played fantastic with her Selkirk 007. So the 007 is getting a lot of buzz, seems to be very poppy. Seen some players with a glimmer in their eye when they're talking about it. And Catherine and Anna Lee did not play great in Atlanta against Rohrabacher and Bright. It was taken to them a little bit, and it was a complete 180 this last tournament. Strategy was on point. The aggression was on point. And I thought Catherine played as well as I've seen her in a very long time. So hopefully, you know, the 007 is going to start being used by more and more players. It's still, I'm not even sure if it's out yet, to be honest with you, to the public.
It's approved, but it's there's not many out there.
Right. Yeah. And I know there the Vanguard has come out recently, and I'm actually hoping to hit that. Selkirk sent me one. Shout out to Selkirk. Thank you. I'm hoping to hit that on Thursday or Friday, but, you know, some new paddles popping in there and,
here she is. I got her. I don't have my turnip grip on yet, but I got the, Ooh. got my lead tape lined up. I like to go here. And if I really like, if I'm lacking some pop, which I usually am with my Lux.
Me too.
I've started to go on the corners up here as well, each corner. But hitting with this guy today a little bit. I'm playing at 130.
Good. And that
kind of get a little rep, get some reps in. But Adam, this is nobody plays with the Epic guy, but this guy's probably going to play with the Epic this weekend.
Okay, all right. And that paddle came with lead tape, didn't it?
Yeah,
Came with lead tape too. I thought that was cool. Just the little strips.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. So
I don't know if everybody gets that, Adam. I think just you might be special.
Ooh. I like being special. So all right. Well, that's all I have. What would you like to add to my official note card here?
Well, that's preparation. Right. That's professional. That's high end content creation. International.
Oh yes.
You know, we talked about I'm gonna keep everybody abreast of what's happening internationally. And there's I don't know if I talked about the World Pickleball League, but it's backed by Sony Entertainment. It's a group that's also in Mumbai. It is, I don't remember how many players we're trying to get, but they are. It's around the same time as PWR, which is also a team league. And there's some players, including myself, that are really looking at the World Pickleball League as a potential option. I've got an offer that is not small in terms of appearance fee.
Mm-hmm.
It's more guaranteed than what PWR is, at least for the first, you know, at least for that first event. But I think if you play PWR, that you are guaranteed entry, from what I know, to the big boys, which is like the $1.5 million in Dubai, $1 million in Spain, $1 million in Vegas next year. So it's got very much like a PPA APP vibe of, you know, PWR being PPA and World Pickleball League being APP. I mean, this is World Pickleball League. To my knowledge, they're having one event. This is their one event.
Okay.
I think they're planning on doing more in the future, but there's no plans on that, right? So going into like taking a significant appearance fee to WPL, you're basically, you know, whatever happens with Prawns League, it could blow up and be huge and be a big opportunity for players. And you know, you go to the WPL for that one guaranteed paycheck and you could miss out on a lot of stuff. So, you know, kind of there's a lot of players in my shoes that are kind of weighing those options right now. Do you take a higher amount in the short term for WPL, or do you roll the dice with PWR? And again, with PWR, it's a draft. There's only 12 players on men and women. And we know how drafts are, Adam. They are quite political. From what I've heard, you're going to have Flaxman and Alex Hunt really pushing their players to be in it. So again, political, not entirely based on merit, which is a bummer, but you know, so that's also something I'm considering is like, okay, well there's a chance that I don't even get drafted for PWR, which obviously I think I should. I'm probably, you know, if not the top, one of the top players that's considering it. But you just never know. And I think they want to have players from all over. They want to have some Australian players. They're going to have, obviously, you know, their top Indian players. So it is a coin flip on whether you even get in based on how it might end up being political. So that's something you're weighing too, right? It's like, you know, do I risk that, or do I just take the guaranteed money that's being offered to me here? So yeah, just admit, I just wanted to kind of highlight some interesting things happening internationally with that stuff, and how, as a player without an agent that represents myself, like how I'm kind of looking at it and thinking about it. And I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but it's interesting times.
No,
I am going to, since the APP kind of year end finale at the Fort got pushed, it got pushed from December 15th, I think, to January 15th. I'm not sure why. I think it's facility wise. It might not be ready yet. But with that happening, my last event, I have an APP Boca at the beginning of November. Then I'm playing the USA Pickleball Nationals in Arizona the following week, I think mid-November.
Okay.
And then after that, I don't have any more events the rest of the year here. So there is a PWR in China, very close to Hong Kong. That is the first week of December. And then there is a tournament in Vietnam, also a PWR, both 50, I think 50K for each of those, which isn't big, but they are, you know, they're covering flights and lodging and doing that for some players to come over. So I might take a little trip to Asia in December and then maybe go to Bali, take a little vacay, see my friends at Pickle Bali, shout out to Mila and TJ. And yeah, do a little Asian Christmas, if you will.
Fantastic. I think we should do a little international segment every time we get together, Robert. And, you know, we were doing deep in the Twitter streets with Robert. Now we might just have to do international pickleball with Robert. And,
there's lots happening.
The only thing I really have to say about that is thank you for keeping us abreast. That is very important, Rob. And
yeah, I wanted you to say, I'm glad you were able to sneak in an abreast. Yes. Well done.
Yes, we both worked it in today. So that's fantastic. Yeah. And I think we're going to be getting more and more updates as we still plan to get together every week with the international action. And it seems to be exciting.
I'm going to have some better backgrounds than what you see right now, which is this, you know, shabby chic dresser or whatever it is. Armoire.
Oh, you
the even chic armoire.
Robert, you even threw in a roll of the dice. That was nice. Not even scripted, just organically flowing.
No. And Adam, we naturally like just slipped in the Vanguard Pro. You talked about the 07, uh-huh. Little teaser action.
Teaser?
What we didn't do was a tip of the day, though.
No, yeah.
A tip of the pod.
So, yeah, so what do you got?
So let's finish it up. The guy with the no card has no tip of the day. No, so let's go tip of the day.
I didn't get there.
No, it's okay. Let's go with the little shimmy action at the dink on the dinks. And it doesn't even have to be a shimmy. I saw a little clip of, and I think this is what Anna Lee does so well, is she always has kind of a little bit of a loop on the forehand, mm-hmm. a little loop on the backhand, and it all looks the same, right? Whether she's hitting a two-handed backhand dink cross court, or whether she's going to speed that up down the middle, like it's the same flow, it's the same backswing. And she's able to make that adjustment very last second, like similar to like how I hold it, but hers is more fluid.
Uh-huh.
And she does that really well on the backhand side and the forehand side. And I was talking to, shout out to Josh Reason here in Jacksonville.
Oh, I know who that is. Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah, Josh, we're gonna have Josh on the podcast at some point. Okay. He wants it. So people that want it that badly, we have to let him have it.
I played a tournament with him.
You played with him
at SGC Savannah Golf Club.
Okay,
at the,
nice.
At the very beginning when he first started playing, and we lost. I honestly don't remember to who, but we lost. And that's all I got.
Yeah, no, Josh is the man. He's the man. And yeah, he does a lot of stuff on internet business domain. So always fun to see what he's up to building wise, business wise. But I was telling Josh, like, if you're thinking about being on the right side, left side at the kitchen line, there's certain places that you can hit to players where you know you're going to be safe, these safety zones, mm-hmm. right? And that's where people want to dink to. J-Dub on the left, safety zones, dinking to his forehand, his right foot. He's gotten a little bit better showing some off-the-bounce stuff with the forehand. But generally speaking, with that grip and how he cups it, it's going to be a dink, right? So what Anna Lee does so well, and I don't know if I talked, maybe this was a tip of the week last week. I have no idea, but I've talked about this recently. I don't know if it was on this podcast. So if we're doing tip of the week and it's the same one as last week, oh well. But it is being able to not give your opponent a safe zone anywhere. Like you need to be dangerous from every spot on the kitchen line. Whether you're on the left, you have to be dangerous off the backhand. You have to be dangerous off the forehand. Same thing on the right. Like I think that's kind of the evolution, is being able to be dangerous from every spot on the court.
It creates tension for your opponents. And when you have a safe zone, they get to pull back a little bit and know if they just hit a 6 out of 10 quality dink, then it's all good from that spot. So did you say something about a shimmy?
Yeah. Like Dylan does a little shimmy.
Well, the forehand.
Colin
Schick on the backhand. Yeah. He's got a little paddle waggle. Yeah. There's a couple people that have been working that in, and actually plays into a previous podcast that we did, where start with a base of consistency. Once you get there, then you're allowed to shimmy. So you until you get consistent enough, you're not allowed to shimmy. And once you do, you can do a little shimmy. I call it a little shoulder waggle to create a little deception. You talked about you holding it. So this is all good. And I think I've been seeing more and more players do it where they are so comfortable with their consistency and what they're doing that they throw in. This is the best line ever. This is from Xiaomi. I'm gonna butcher the accent, but I'm gonna try it.
Yes, please. You have to.
He goes, "You must tell a story with your body." I mean, it's so good.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, coming from Xiaomi, it's just absolutely electric. Love that guy.
I like that a lot.
I don't even know him, and I love that guy. But it's serious. Tell a story with your body. Throw a little this way, throw a little that way, as long as you're consistent enough, and that can create some nice deception and some tension in your opponent who is not sure what is about to happen.
What happened, speaking of, I know this is a rough transition from a fantastic Xiaomi quote to reviewing this last tournament with him and Tyson, what happened?
Oh, I think Tyson is battling some injuries. And I also know that I think it was Casey Diamond and Max Freeman. So Max Freeman is a bit of James calls him his coach, but I think he might just be a little bit of a James Ignatowicz protege. He's a very, I called one of his matches in Las Vegas, very smooth skill set, lefty, has a lot to like. And Casey Diamond is pretty good. He's been getting better and better. He reaches in nicely with the backhand. He's a young, tall guy. So I think it was a combination of both. Probably Tyson having some of those injuries and probably not playing his best game. But Freeman and Diamond are legit. But it was 5-2, which is the wild part. It wasn't like
That was wild. That was what.
Yeah, 5-2 is 5-2. I don't care.
Hey, if that score tells a story too, Xiaomi.
Yeah, got him. Got him. But yeah, no, that's. What happened there is what I would guess. I did not have that match. I believe it was on Grandstand, not on CC.
Adam, that's what I miss about playing a lot of tournaments, though, is like you could have a result like that, and then you play Vegas next week, that result's done.
It hurts,
you know,
more. Right?
You know what I mean? It's like it clears the slate really quickly. Like I've had a tournament once every 3 months. It's like you get that loss, and you just get to like wallow in it for really long time. And I miss that back to back where it's like, okay, clean slate again. And then everybody's such short term memory in the sport that they already forgot that, and they only know what you did this tournament.
Yeah, instant redemption is important, point to point, but also tournament to tournament to scrap that bad loss or scrap a loss that you didn't think that you should have, and then you get to get right back on the horse. So agree completely,
Adam. We'd be insane not to mention this. You know what I like to do sometimes on the pod is. Just go to pickleball news on Google, like type in pickleball and then just click news. Mm-hmm. Number one result is Forbes, who I'm assuming it is Mr. Todd.
Yeah, I talked to that
writing
guy.
That.
I talked. He was at Virginia.
How is he?
He was at Virginia Beach. He was just
good dude.
Seemed to be a very good dude. Just kind of getting the lay of the land, talking to some high end pickleball personalities and content creators. So I was on that list.
Like you?
Yeah, so I was on that list for that. And
that's a short list. Yeah. It's Adam Stone and Adam Stone.
Okay. All right. I'll take that. Yeah. Anyway, I enjoyed talking to him. He has a background in racquetball. He's been covering pickleball for a while and he knew his stuff.
Yeah, he does know his stuff. And this headline is just wild though that he wrote. And it's not wild because he wrote like a clickbaity headline. Uh-huh. It's just wild because it's Annalee Waters secures 29th career triple crown. Dude, think about like playing every event and winning all three 29 times is absurd.
It's beyond absurd. That's over a year's worth of tournaments.
It's absurd.
Absurd.
To win the triple crown.
She is absurd.
Yeah, I mean, that's that is like a wild stat. That's like a Tiger Woods type stat, yeah, you know?
And like, she's like in that match against Buchner, it was back and forth the whole way. Three games, you know, tight score lines. Like, the mental intensity that she had throughout, like, smacking herself on the leg, fight, fight, fight.
Yeah.
Want it, yeah. Want it. Just like saying crazy stuff during the match. Like, the competitive spirit in that young lady is 10 out of 10. And it's very special to, I mean, to have a physical skill set like that and have a rock solid, intense,
high
level mental game.
How do you not let down a little bit?
No.
How do you not like,
it's not a thing. And like she gets, and if she does have that dip in level, even if it's round of 64, she just yells at herself or takes a timeout and finds that whatever she needs to play at 100%. It is something that is very special.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, some people might get tired of seeing the same result every weekend, but I mean, we're in the category of like
Tiger Woods
of Tiger Woods and like, just, you know, how dominant can somebody be and how long can it continue?
Yeah, I agree completely. One thing that is going to happen is that Corinne is going to work, so I have to watch the baby. So we're gonna have to cut it at an hour and 5 minutes, which was absolutely lovely. Covered a variety of topics.
Just really enjoyed talking to you, Adam. I didn't have any urge to get off the podcast. Nope. You know, like I sometimes do. It's not because of you. Often it's because of me. Uh-huh. I'm just, you know, tired of hearing my own thoughts.
Yeah.
But okay, let's wrap it.
Let's wrap it.
Thank you.
Great episode.
Lovely.